This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. A few minutes past 2 p.m. You know, probably listening right now and is one of my top three people in the world. A certain Michael Claiborne.
Oh, nice. Mike's the best.
Dude is the best. Whether you need a signed ball from Ozzy or you need someone kneecapped, he's your guy.
Gotcha.
He can get either one. You need Ozzy to kill a man, he'll get him to do it. No, Mike's the best.
Yes.
What if it was every boy's dream to have a...
No.
Every little boy's dream. Yeah,
Rach with the dagger.
Little
sorry,
right
sorry,
between
sorry,
the ribs.
Sorry.
No.
That was a good one.
Mr. Smith. As you know, it's every little boy's
okay,
dream.
Okay, can I just, since I'm picking on Andrew, the other night, usually Andrew and I walk out together, we get off work at the same time, but sometimes he has to stay late, sometimes I have to stay late. The other day he had to stay late, and I was like, all right, man, I'll see you tomorrow. And did you say, fare thee well?
Yeah, probably. That sounds like something I'd say.
It was like, fare thee well. And
fare
I just couldn't
well.
Stop
yeah,
thinking
I did say
about
fare
it.
Well.
Is that how
yeah.
you have to talk for Magic the Gathering?
That's just how I talk normal. I like to say cutesy stuff.
It was very funny. I couldn't stop thinking about it on the walk to my car, and I immediately put it on the show sheet. Fare thee well.
I was wondering why you had that on there. And I thought when I saw it, I was like, this sounds like something I'd say.
Yeah, I wonder why that was on there, too. I have a list here of foods that are delicious in small amounts, but gross in any large amount.
Okay.
Cheese.
Incorrect.
Yeah. Completely incorrect.
Yeah.
Load me up.
Yeah.
I've eaten bowls full of cheese before.
Yeah.
The next one, Arby's beef and cheddar.
Incorrect.
This list is a lie.
Well, I have eaten a lot of beef and cheddar, and yeah, after a certain point, I didn't stop.
There's a ceiling?
Yeah. It gets a little like, oof, this is...
Eggnog.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm in one of those, like, one sip is too much. I hate eggnog.
Oysters.
Hate them.
I've never had more than, like, one at a time.
Well, deep fried ones are pretty good.
They just look yuck to me.
Rach, I think you like this. Lox.
Love it. Ooh, I could eat it every day.
Is it salmon?
Smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon?
Yeah.
This is a weird,
on a bagel with
weird list. Oof. Vienna sausages. I can eat a whole bunch of Vienna sausages.
Yeah, they're so little.
Yeah.
Are those the ones you wrap in bacon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
My mom made that for Christmas a couple years ago, and me, my brother, and my niece Catherine were like battling each other for
the
You don't want to be that guy, but move
we're
over.
We're all like casually
it's hard not to.
Strolling up to it and taking
I guess
five
I could have a
time.
Couple more.
Exactly.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan. It's got to be mixed in other things. I don't like it by itself.
Can I tell my Eric Hemskirk story since he doesn't know it?
Yeah.
Who's Eric
Hemskirk? Is that
Hemskirk?
The basement?
Yes.
Yeah.
In third grade, we had an exchange student. His dad worked at Shell, and he was from Holland.
Oh.
And his name was Eric Hemskirk, and he was my best friend because he was interesting, and I thought it would make me cooler. It would make my social status rise.
Right.
So we're buddies. And he had his birthday party, and he had me and two other kids over, and I came from the McDonald's world of Jack Glover. You could have a hamburger, french fries, and a Coke, or two hamburgers and a Coke, but never that, and never like a big sandwich. And his dad said, with a strong Dutch accent, anything you want from McDonald's, you can have.
Anything, you're armed.
I'm like, bitch, you don't say things like this.
Yes.
He's like, anything you want. So I did. I got it all. I got my first Big Mac. I got a malt. I got like a fish fillet. And I'm feeling queasy. And then they're like, it's time for the games. It's time for the games. So we go down to the basement.
Always a great sign.
And his grandma's sitting in a rocking chair like from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And they have a table, little like a TV table with three bowls with like a paper towel over them. And then they blindfolded us. I went first. And you had to pick one, two, or three. And they would give you a big heaping helping spoonful of whatever it was. So I still remember this. I picked two, and it was mayonnaise.
No.
And they're all like, "Oh, he picked the mayonnaise. He picked the mayonnaise."
Were they like lucky you, or were they like, "Oh no"?
It's just a game to screw with you.
Okay, so it's all bad stuff.
Yeah, it's all bad stuff. It was like salt, sugar, mayonnaise. Mayonnaise was the worst. But I like they put it in my mouth. I'm like working on it, and I swallow it, and then they take the blindfold off, and you see what it is. They were literally jumping up and down and clapping because they're having such fun. And I just projectiled right onto Grandma's chest.
Oh.
So much so that I swear this is true, it made her rock.
She was like, "Oh my goodness."
But man, you talk about going from the mountaintop to the valley.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
Anything you want from it. And that now I know that was part of the game.
I say, did they set you up?
Yeah, they set us up. Damn Dutch.
Have you ever eaten a large amount of salt at once?
Yeah, that seems like dangerous more than fun.
Yeah.
Like a big giant spoonful of salt. Like,
agreed.
I tricked a friend into, we were like 12 years old. You know, remember at Pizza Hut, the red pepper that was on the table? We convinced him that was chopped nuts and gave him a big handful and he ate it. And he was
man, you were the original prankster.
I wasn't alone in that one, but we got him.
Mm.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Razor's Edge?
Yes. I have a couple things I want to talk about here. The first one is... the attitudes people have towards cash. So they just did a survey of 2,000 U.S. adults, and almost one third of these Americans who were surveyed believe that cash doesn't count when it comes to spending money. I kind of thought that I was the only one like this. But if you just have, you know, you have your debit card, which most people pay for everything with that, or a credit card. But then you have cash, and it's like, well, that's my fun money. Like, that's already out of the account. So... that can kind of go anywhere.
You know, what's interesting about that is I bet that's flipped. I bet like 30, 40 years ago, it was cash is real. But
right.
If I put it on a credit card.
Feels like it's not.
I don't even see that. And now it's kind of the opposite.
Mm. Yeah. I get what Rach is saying because most people don't carry a lot of cash. And when you do have it, it's like, you know, you got it. Somebody gave you a card for your birthday or you, whatever. It's like easy to spend it and you're not taking away from something that might be biting you in the butt, right? Like if you take it out, if you're paying with your debit card, speaking from my own experience in my 20s, you could be like, I hope that doesn't make my other check bounce. Like I've been there.
Yeah.
But if you have the cash in your hand, the cash is in your hand, that's already out of there. I get it.
So this survey is interesting. I think we would all agree or suppose that younger generations pay mostly with digital payments, but it turns out that Gen Xers and baby boomers are twice as likely to rarely carry cash than Gen Z. Apparently, Gen Z keeps a cash fund because they frequent cash-only businesses more than any other generation.
Like what?
I don't know. I don't know what those businesses would be.
Hmm. They sound like the illegitimate.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm kidding.
I know on TikTok a couple years ago, it was going pretty viral to like do the old school method of taking out cash and then putting it in envelopes and budgeting that way, which has been around for forever. But then, you know, people thought they reinvented it.
I think we talked about this on the air, the check kiting thing.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah. The people that thought it was a hack.
Yeah. They thought it was a hack.
Yeah. They thought it was they called it the infinite money glitch.
Right.
Yeah. Right. They're treating it like a video game, like because that happens in games.
Sure.
You get a glitch in there, and you get, I can get endless money in this game because there's a glitch in the software, right. And you can just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Hmm.
Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about is this TikTok I saw earlier today. This is a very accurate representation of what I am like at pretty much any social gathering or event. Let's see if you guys are like this, too.
I'm so glad we're doing this, but do you think we'll be home before 9:30?
Do you think they have gluten-free options? I'll be right back. I just got to check in with the dog sitter real quick.
Look, I'm having a great time, but if we leave now, we could beat the traffic.
The energy here is insane, but did you bring earplugs? It's kind of loud.
Oh, no, I'm good with one. If I have two, I'll be hungover for like a week.
I'm late.
Yeah, I love being out late, but like, have you ever woken up early to go to a Pilates class at 7 a.m.?
Man, they are far away. I should have brought my glasses.
Honestly, it's a good thing I brought a jacket. It's getting kind of chilly.
Dude, that win was sick. And I made some money. I put down $5.
You know my answer.
Me.
I made my 10-year-old daughter leave at intermission in Shrek and told her that it was over.
Kevin, what's it like to just enjoy things and not be anxious about leaving early the whole time?
What's it like to be a real boy?
I actually think I might be the weird one.
Mm.
Well, everybody else seems to have those same things. Like, I definitely will have those that, like, yeah, you know what, if we just leave right now. But, like, I'll do that at a baseball game. But it's because I've been to, like, 800 baseball games in the last 15 or 18 years, whatever. But if it's a concert, I'm there till the end. I'm not even thinking about leaving early. I'm not thinking about doing any of those things, and I definitely don't want earplugs.
You're there till the end?
Oh, that sounds so bad.
The end of the encore, I am there, yes. Because if I'm at the show, it means I like the band. And if I like the band, I want to see the best songs.
What's
the best
an event
songs?
Like at the end? I've never seen
it. Yeah, what happens at the end?
So, I don't know why we still do this encore thing. Like,
right.
Just play all the way, save the two best ones for last.
It's been a while since we were surprised.
Right, right. Like, nobody's like, oh, I wonder if they're coming back out. Because they didn't play their biggest hit ever.
Right.
And then, so you always get that, like, two or three of the biggest hits, or at least, like, the ones you know that are the fan favorites. Those will come, like, two or three of those after they all leave the stage for a minute. You know it's over when the lights come on.
Yeah.
Pretty much like a movie. When the lights come on, they're like, all right, guys, for real this time, see you later. Lights come on, everybody goes home.
Encores really just serve to risk upsetting people because the, like, once in a blue moon where a band doesn't come out and do an encore, like, it makes people mad.
I have never been to a show where there was no encore.
I have.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd be cool that if you just said, hey, guys, with our encore planned, we would do 15 songs. We're still going to do 15 songs, but we're not going to fake out like we're done with two songs left.
The band was, like, famously a big-time jerks.
My first encore was my first concert, which was unplanned. It was the Commodores in, like, 1976 at the Old Glory Amphitheater at Six Flags. I didn't know what a Commodore was. And suddenly there's Lionel Richie and the boys all dressed in mirrored outfits and stuff. And they
must have been a show.
It was a show, man. Then they got to the end, and I'm like, let's go. Let's go ride the log flume. They're like, wait for it. I'm like, what am I waiting for? Then they're like, he's on break. And I'm like, what's happening? You said you were done.
Yeah. Did it start organically? Like, people are like, yep, we're done. And then people made so much noise, like, okay, guys,
probably.
We got one or two more.
Yeah, probably. Okay. The first encore was probably awesome.
I bet it was, because you're like, we convinced them to do more.
I wonder if bands are ever like, they're not cheering loud enough, we're not coming out.
There are some I've been to.
I bet.
There are some I've been to where they waited out until they hear enough noise. Like, if it's
by the way,
too
Ben
quiet,
Boyd
they don't
says that you asked him to leave early the last concert you were
at. No, we didn't.
Ooh.
I said we could
I'm just reporting
what Ben said. Ben and I went to see Megadeth, and I said, you know, I don't really care about the last one, because we know the set list.
The truth going in there. Comes out.
But ask him, text him back, did we leave?
I don't think so.
We didn't. We just talked about the possibility at the beginning, but we did not.
Oh, can I talk about one more thing for Razor's Edge, and then we'll go to break?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry it's been all over the place. But I talked earlier about how I got McDonald's breakfast this morning. It was pretty good. I really like McDonald's iced coffee. They kind of nail it, and it's like $2. But while I was, I had just ordered, and I had pulled forward, and the line was moving kind of slow, and I had my window down. I heard this man ordering, and he's like, blah, 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 and the coffee. And he goes, and make sure the coffee's hot today. It was kind of cold yesterday.
Oh,
in the meanest way. And I turned around, and I looked at him, and the poor lady who was doing the drive-thru, who was incredible, by the way, she had the best voice and she was very friendly and outgoing. She was like, oh, I'm so sorry about that. And I thought, you shouldn't have to apologize for yesterday's coffee, especially when someone's talking to you that way.
I was at Denny's this morning. I hate to brag about my wealth, but I was at Denny's for a NOTA meeting, and people were DoorDashing, and there were two people DoorDashing. One was named Matt. Mm-hmm. That's the customer. And the other was Maddie. And guess what happened?
They got mixed up.
They picked them up the wrong ones, and they both got. And it was, I mean, I was so in. So much drama. Two different DoorDash people, two different Denny's people. It was amazing. Crazy.
Sounds like a lot.
Were you getting anxiety, or were you mostly just excited?
I was a Twitter.
Edge of your seat.
Yeah, I really was. And then the DoorDash person was walking out the door, and she turns around, and she owns him. She goes, well, I just like to take care of my customers. And then she walks out, and they knew they were burned, and then they started dog cussing her.
Oh, look out.
For DGS, this song kills me. I just think it's so sad. This is the one? Yeah. This is a sad song.
Mm.
You ever really listen to it?
No, because I would hear like the first note and turn it off.
Well, you are missing out, my friend. This might unlock your real feelings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll try it one day.
That's what we need. That'd be terrible. Say,
be careful.
That'd be like when Data got feelings on
Star Trek.
On Star Trek. Kevin wouldn't know how to modulate him. I love you so much.
Let's go.
Take it easy, dude. If you're tired, you can blame your mom. A new study shows that we get our energetic level. We inherit that from our mothers.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
Okay.
My mom had tons of energy.
Andrew's like, I disagree with these.
My mom had tons
study.
Of energy.
Well, no, but your mom could be high energy. That's the point.
Right. And then also be high energy.
Is the story saying if you have low energy, or is it what?
No, you should have the same energy as your
mom. Okay, so it could go high or low. Okay.
Maybe you're doing something to tamp down your natural high energy.
Oh, can't imagine what that would be.
Yeah, just, you know, take a look at your life. Take a little, you know.
Can't imagine what I might be
take
doing
stock.
To slow myself down.
Oh, you're coming off a major win. This is when you turn your whole
That's
life
true.
Around.
Yeah. That's true.
How good did that feel?
Oh, it feels amazing. Still feels good.
That's awesome. I'm really happy for
did
you.
Do people clap?
Well, no.
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 That's too.
People only clap if you're Megan. If you're Megan, everybody claps for you because you're cute and adorable and everybody
Sleep
loves
in
you.
A
and
hammock.
They can't get enough of it.
Did when your she, opponent
when
cry?
When she got her first win, she goes, I won! And the whole store stood up and gave her like a standing ovation.
Doesn't that suck?
Yes.
Really does.
It made me so mad.
Yeah. You got to be married
to her. Well, let me ask you, hold on.
I wasn't standing. I sat there like.
Speaking of energy, though, when you got your first win, did you match that energy and stand up and say, I won?
No.
Well, then nobody's going to clap.
Well,
they're going to think you're a seasoned veteran.
I think might come off a little differently coming from Andrew than it would from Megan.
Yes. Every little boy's dream.
I'm not cute. So if I do it, I'm being a poor winner.
Okay.
And I'm gloating. If Megan does it, it's like, oh, look, is she so cute? She gets away with everything.
Do you think her opponent was like, oh, I hate her?
No. Her opponent was fine.
The opponent clapped too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. You got some honor in the Magic the Gathering world.
There's no. So you got to avoid the like sweaty events, right? That's kind of what I call them.
What's that?
It's where like everybody is like trying really hard, and there's people who are like angle shooting and rules sharking and that sort of thing, and they're just trying to, you know, they're like desperate to win, and they do get really really salty, and they act very, you know, rudely if you're beating them or whatever.
What level do you have to get to for that?
Usually once you get into like the bigger tournaments, especially the ones with like more advanced pricing or big money on the line or something, people will that attracts kind of the sweaty people. But what you want to find is you want to find like a smaller group that where everybody likes each other.
Which is cool.
Along. Well, which has been a lot more.
This is
fun.
Sort of like John Hancock's snooker. But like you're into this very obscure sport.
Yeah, and just like snooker, I think that there are people who are very sweaty about it. They are very like
Hancock,
you know. Yeah, like John, for example. Yeah. And then there's more chill folks like Michael who are like, yeah, we're just here to have fun.
So you're a Michael.
Yeah.
And your wife's a Hancock.
Maybe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
233 DGS. Okay, I don't want to talk about this for a long time. I don't think it's worth talking about for a long time, but I just want to get one final. So Lieutenant Dan, the guy that's in the little 21-foot sailboat, Tampa Bay, and he's a big hero, and he's going to weather out the storm, and let's do a GoFundMe, and let's raise him a bunch of money, let's buy him a new boat. The Outkick guy is going to give him $100,000, XYZ. Then it turns out he has a whole big, long rap sheet, including violence to a child, and now everyone's fighting about it. And the real fight, the interesting fight to me, seems to be people saying, like, I don't care what he's done in the past. Everyone has a past, and he's turning his life around, and we have an opportunity to help him to turn it around. We shouldn't punish people for their entire lives because of mistakes they made in the past. Thoughts? Wheels?
Why do you only carry that energy for someone who got internet famous for a minute for riding out a hurricane? Do you have that same energy for the homeless guy you walk past on the street? Do you have that same energy for everyone else? Or just the guy who went internet famous and you thought it was funny and, ha-ha, I'm going to give this guy $5?
Interesting take. Yeah. Rach?
I think a lot of the... I don't know. I think we care so much about the Lieutenant Dan thing because it's like he's been hoisted to this position where, like, he won the internet lottery where it's like, hey, we're fixated on you and we love you.
Yeah. And 15 minutes.
People probably gave $5, $10. I doubt anyone's out there giving like their life savings to him. So at the end of the day, is it that big of a deal if you threw him $5? No, but I think we feel like jealous and, resentful when someone is in a position like that, and then it turns out they don't have the best past in the world. I mean, you should be able to move on from your mistakes, but if you're kind of like actively grifting, which a lot of people are saying that's what he's doing now, I understand the resentment people feel 100%. That being said, don't waste too much time worrying about it because you don't have any control over it. Like some people do just win the internet lottery and that's the way it is. He'll fade away eventually and we'll move on to someone else.
Probably by next week.
It's just fascinating that people will fight about that, though. Like, it's one, like, if you were like, oh, that's a cool story, and I gave him money, and then after the fact realize, oh, man, I probably shouldn't have done that. Well, okay. Or if you're like, eh, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Hopefully he does better with it or whatever. Yeah. I mean, like, none of that's the problem. The problem is that even in the face of information, people are still like, I don't care. He's still, I mean, like, it's still funny. Like, there's a certain group of people that think that just being funny or ironic or just owning normies is what's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, there was a thing I saw the other day that basically anyone will say yes to anything on a survey. And a lot of times they do it just to mess with the people doing the survey.
I had a thing happen like this. I think it predates any of you guys, probably about 2010. And when Bulger and I were really, really tight and hanging out and doing a bunch of fundraising and stuff, and we were contacted, I forget how or by who, but it was about this woman who was dying of stage 4 cancer, had like 4 kids, and her husband had been killed in Afghanistan fighting for our country. And so we jumped in, and it wasn't a GoFundMe because I didn't exist, but we ran it through his company, his charity, and we raised like $75,000 overnight. And then we found out, I started getting a spidey sense about it. And I called the woman who had introduced me to her. And I'm like, this is like literally 2 a.m. And I called this woman who I knew. And she was like, let me check it out. And she checked it out and she pushed her. And it turns out that her husband was alive and well and had been dishonorably discharged. And that she wasn't dying of cancer. She had something, but she wasn't dying of cancer. And so we had to go back and refund every single one of those donations.
Mm.
Yeah. That was rough.
Not great.
Yeah, that was not great.
But again, intent is right.
Yeah, everyone who gave money, their heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
But.
It came to the same idea, right? You're catfishing people. Mm-hmm. You know, you're taking advantage of people's general goodwill for your own, even though if you told them your real story, nobody would do that.
Yes.
I think that's kind of what people are mad about with the Lieutenant Dan thing. It's more the if he was presenting himself as he was, fewer people would give him money, which is, of course, why he won't do that.
Yep.
I guess I just didn't really pay any attention to him. So was he on the news like with a sob story or was it the news?
I think the news found him.
I think it was the news' fault.
Yeah. I think they found him.
He's a TikToker also, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Was he?
But I mean, I think, again, blame this on news people who are seeking out that kind of thing. Like, it's not enough that a hurricane's going to impact tens of thousands of people. We got to find that one story that we can fixate on.
Yeah.
And we love nothing more than to lift someone up and then
tear them down, buddy.
Yeah.
So, everyone, Kevin?
All right. You guys can choose a little bit here. Do you want to do some movie stuff?
Sure.
Like Halloween movie stuff?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do that. So, I found a poll that lists the 10 greatest horror movies of all time, and I'm curious what you guys think of.
Okay.
Basically, the list. I'm not going to get into all of the
Ghost
10.
Ghost of Mr. Chicken, number one.
Yes. Carrie is number 10 on the list. I think we did a view. It's a top 10 for sure. I've never heard of this one called 120 Days of Sodom. I think it's a foreign movie.
Don't know that one.
Frankenstein, the original from 1931. A movie called Audition.
Don't know it.
I don't either. From 1999, Night of the Living Dead. No big surprise. Get to the top 5. Rosemary's Baby, definitely going to be one.
Never seen it. Mm-hmm. Never will.
Jaws.
Hmm.
I don't think Jaws is a horror movie. It's an action movie.
Boy, when it came out, it was a horror movie, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, we've had such a glut of horror movies, and it's been more delineated between that and action. But I tell you, when Jaws came out, it was...
I mean, it's scary, but there are action movies that have fear-inducing things, and I don't know that we would call those horror movies.
Yeah, were you, like, laying in bed worried that the shark from Jaws was under your bed?
Yes.
My brother did. My brother had blue carpeting in his room when that came out, and my parents let us see it, and he had nightmares for weeks thinking the shark was going to come up from the floor.
Oh, so he was stupid.
He was just a dumb little kid. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks. Off the top rope.
No, but then Psycho.
You know, he's a hypnotist.
He'll
hypnotize you.
Don't believe me. He'll try. Psycho is number three. I think nobody disagrees.
I do.
You do?
I get it. It's an OG. It's a classic, but is it the top three horror movies?
It's not one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And none of my favorites really made this list, really. The Exorcist is number two. That I think that would make my top ten. Mm-hmm. But they said the number one, and it seems like it was by a lot, was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Again, never saw it.
Like from your game, Dave. Your basement game.
Yes.
Yeah. And what's interesting to me about it is that one probably is the one that fits the stereotypical horror movie.
It's pretty scary.
Normal people placed in this terribly scary environment, but it's not supernatural. It's not like this couldn't happen to me.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
This is horror movie question, so don't, you know, if you're for the faint of heart. But when I was a kid and that movie came out and I was terrified by just the fact that it existed, my friends told me that there's a scene where they chop off a girl's fingers and let the grandma drink the blood.
Yes.
Grandpa. Is that true?
Yeah, grandpa, but yeah.
Mm?
Wow.
It's a gruesome movie. And, I mean,
I thought they made that up just to screw with me.
And because they eat people, right?
Right.
So the grandfather is weak. So.
Well, again,
they cut off the finger so that he can drink the blood and find some strength.
I think that's what makes the scariest movies, the best horror movies, are the ones that could happen. They're not. I mean,
totally disagree.
I'm the same way.
Totally disagree.
Yeah.
I could leave my doors and windows open at night with a meat cleaver hanging on the doorknob. I should be afraid of humans, but I'm not. But you tell me there's a ghostie, and I'm screwed up.
The butt demon?
Yes.
The movie that scared me most over the past few years was Us, Jordan Peele's Us. Mm. And it's a ridiculous concept. It's your doppelganger coming to kill
you.
Right,
right.
And I was so scared. I slept with the lights on. I didn't sleep for two nights, and the lights were on. And every time I would drift off, I would be like, because I just thought for sure my doppelganger was coming with a pair of scissors.
I'd be like, hey, sexy, what's up?
Because I like monster movies, but I don't find like Dracula. I don't find those scary. They're just different. I don't know. Interesting. They're
vampire movies are hit and miss.
Yeah, they have to be really good.
Salem's Lot scared me a lot.
Salem's Lot, the original, scared me, but I was also a kid.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I would have felt the same way seeing it as an adult.
Right.
But I mean, I liked the Bram Stoker's Dracula with Gary Oldman.
You know what I think about that movie?
Mm.
I think it's the most romantic movie ever made.
Really?
I really do.
I mean, it has that element.
Yeah, really does.
Mina.
Yep. When he doesn't want her to drink his blood because he cares too much about her, and she's like, no, make me a vampire.
Yeah.
So much like my high school years.
But, and I saw, I don't know if you, like, the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the modern one, was also good. And I don't know that what is scary to me, and I think, Dave, our generation, is what scares younger generations. Because every movie I see... the new ones, every time a new horror movie comes out, whether it's Smile or any other ones, I see them and I'm like, just doesn't do it. It's
Smile didn't scare me at all.
No. And what was the other one that you liked and I didn't like? The monster lady in the basement.
Oh, right. I forget what that was called.
Oh, gosh.
Barbarian.
But yeah.
Barbarian.
Like, I don't know why, but the newer one, maybe it's just the age gap because people that are 30 like things different than the guy that's 52. Maybe it's that, but I don't know. I think that's what it is, but I'm not sure because like that one.
I just have this thing about decrepit old people living in the catacombs beneath my house.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah, that's a Dave thing.
Okay.
Whole life you've been scared of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it happened.
The oldest fear.
So,
because that was why
get
I
out
like
there, Mom.
The Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought were scary. I never thought that Jason and the Friday the 13th ones were scary, except for the Rob Zombie one that was not supernatural but was more real. It was more about the psychological problems that this giant human serial killer had, and he was a giant human serial killer, which is what made it scary. Not that you couldn't kill him, not that he was immortal or anything like that, because as soon as it becomes not real,
then you're not
it's
scared.
Just a movie. Is that, I, maybe I'm not saying it the right way, but does that make sense the way
what
I'm saying
it? What about The Exorcist?
Same idea, except that when I saw it, I was a kid, so it scared the crap out of me. But when I see those as an adult, like those types don't
do
now.
Do you view them as realistic because it's something that could happen to people in real life?
I'm not sure it does or can. I'm not on the doubter, but I'm not on the it doesn't happen. I'm on the I don't know if it happens.
Yeah.
But I know that there are serial killers, like and I know there are murderers and all that.
When we went to the Exorcist house where it happened,
yeah.
Would that bother you to go do a show there?
I don't think so. I wouldn't know, I guess, until I'm there, but I don't think so.
Oh, he's getting possessed.
Yeah, you're
going
asking
in
for
with
it.
That kind of attitude.
Maybe I already am.
Can you imagine a possessed Wheeler?
Let's go.
251, DJ Ask Michael Kelly is here from Hancock and Kelly. I put together a pyramid game, which we're going to play at the top of the hour. Put together Denny's, doing a brag, but...
did you get the slam?
I did get the slam. Yeah, I did. I
was not
really close to getting moons over my hammy, but then I thought
they sounds good. But I mean, come on, the grand
it's a lot
slam
of food.
Is the real deal.
The hammy's a lot of food.
Is it?
Oh yeah, big old greasy sandwich. I do love me some Denny's though.
I know.
I love diners.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Any place that serves biscuits and gravy,
right?
Yeah.
Two in the morning,
right? That's
winning.
A good place.
Yep.
Yeah. We just had I thought it was a really interesting conversation. We were talking about bands breaking up, and Michael brought up the Beatles, and I said, I think the Beatles were the first band to ever break up that anyone gave a crap about,
right.
And now it's a big thing, like, oh, they're breaking up, or Oasis don't like each other, but before that, you know, like, Glenn Miller threatens to break up, and
the saxophone is left!
Yeah, they're like, okay, it's fine.
What happened to the euphonium?
How are we going to replace that?
But I guess it's like normal life. It shouldn't be surprised that people have a hard time getting along. But as outsiders, watching people make such magic together, whether it be the Beatles or Simon and Garfunkel or pick anybody, and that they can't figure it out, you look at it like, what? Come on, really?
Yeah.
Really,
well,
dude?
I mean, think about it. Who is the? I forgot that Dave, the name of the author from the Beatles book that we just had.
Mm.
The guy that told the story of being on tour with them originally.
Yes, yes.
It was just fascinating how he described how each of them had these different personalities, but they also had their own creative mind.
Right.
And you're always battling to get your stuff in. I'm sure that's a big part of it, right? Like your mind is like, I have all this stuff and only 8% is getting into the band.
Dude, you brought back such a memory for me today. Yeah. I was listening to you guys. The Soap on the Rope.
Okay, you understand what that is.
Oh, dude, I was obsessed with Soap on a Rope.
Yep.
I'd hang it all over the place.
Yeah.
And I remember, do you remember they used to package them with like the old Polo
Hell
colognes?
Yeah, man.
And so I didn't know my mom would get that for my dad, you know, and then she'd give us the Soap on a Rope to me and my little sister.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always thought
would
it was
beat
so
them
cool.
With it? It's quite a weapon.
Wow. No,
it's
definitely, no. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
You can achieve the same thing just putting the
but you don't see
bar
soap
in a sock.
Anymore.
What? A code red?
Yeah,
you don't see him anymore.
No, we've evolved past Soap on a Rope.
Jimmy Griffin says, being in a band is like being married to four people. Amen.
Well put,
so
Jimmy.
True.
Never been in one, but it sure looks that way.
But I guess so most of them are just ignoring each other and faking it in public? Is
pretty
that
much, right? Right, the sex is good, so okay. No, Soap on a Rope, man, that was a thing.
Totally.
I used to put cologne in my bath. Until it started hurting my pee-pee. And, yeah.
Yeah, that would
Mr.
happen.
Bubble had that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a problem with that liquid soap, I think, you know, when you're washing yourself off and stuff.
It was fascinating, though, listening to you and Hancock talk about what shampoos you use and what was rose hips.
Yeah, I don't
what
know
is
what
he,
rose
100?
Hips are. Yeah.
No one does. No one who didn't fight in the Civil War
exactly.
knows what that is.
And he asked me what I was getting, and I was like, dude, I got a Brillo pad here. I need something to tame this mane. And so I buy mine online, and then I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, why would you even have shampoo?
Yeah. Wash rag will take care of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
I literally wash my head with soap.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, what else would I use?
Yeah.
You see, but I think whatever created us, God, that created us knew that people who were going to be bald were going to be bald because you have a good-looking bald head.
Yeah, not everyone does, though.
But if you shave my head, I got little, you know, Irish spots, and, you know, that's not a good-looking head.
What's your hair like if you just wash it, shake it out, and do nothing?
Oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to show this to you in the break, but I have it from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I, well, okay.
Pull it out.
Yeah, I'm going to find
it. Don't say that.
Let me find it. It could take a second.
But what's yours, Rach?
It's a giant white.
If you just wash it and shake it out.
It's pretty puffy, and it's a little wavy, but it's just very unkempt looking. So I try to do as little to it as possible. Like today, I took this. It was like naturally air dried, and then I took the straightener and I did some curls on top. I think it turned out okay, but I have to do something to it. I can't just let it go. It looks bad.
Wheels, do you have a system?
Yeah, well, the longer it gets, the more spike glue I need to use. Keep it in control. Because, you know, I mean, like, it goes in 87 different directions.
Do you have a brush? A comb?
I do not own a brush.
Wait, do you use Got2Be?
Yes.
Yes, I knew that's what you're talking
about. I'm probably, like, the only person left that does.
What's
I love
she
it.
Using?
It's that's the brand. Got2Be spike glue, man.
For the love.
I know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.